be seated. Amen. Amen. Well, right now, as I speak, there are hundreds of people joining us from their living rooms across Northeast Wisconsin, across really the globe. There have been hundreds of people joining us since January from Hortonville, Wisconsin. Hello, Hortonville. We can see you. Yeah. Hey, these people want to applaud and recognize. You're right there. And we have baptized 8 people from Hortonville a couple weeks ago. We've got kids in Discoveryland that came to know Christ. We have people online that came to know Jesus over the last year through that ministry. There were over 40 women at Hortonville this last week for the first time doing a women's Bible study, 17 of which had never been registered for a study here at this church just this week. Yeah. At one point in the height of the summer 2020, our consultant who was working with us surveyed the national landscape, and she said, you know, I'm pretty certain that you may be the only church in America that is trying to start a new congregation in the middle of a pandemic. And I said, yep, that sounds about right for these people. You don't know them the way I do. It sounds about right. This church was born in the Great Depression. We broke ground on this facility in the Great Recession, and we launched our first new location in a pandemic. I think I can hear God asking, how many more times? How many more times am I going to have to lead you through and over and around a mountain before you just start believing I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do? How many more times? One more time? 2 more times? How many more before you just say yes and believe? So the answer to the question, why? Why did it all happen? How did it all happen? It's God. You know, we prayed when we started this Dare to Move thing years ago. We said, let's do this in such a way that when it's over, when we look back after the years of doing it, we can say only God. Little did we know what the years were going to hold. Little did we know what was on the horizon when we started and said, hey, we want to launch new locations. We put on the map. We said we want to launch 3. Little did we know God would have us launch thousands around the Northeast Wisconsin coming into homes all over the place. We had no idea. But he did it. God. Why? God. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't. You can't end it right there. It's because God used you. He used your prayers. He used your talent, your skills, your abilities. He used your giving. He used you. And here's what's remarkable about that. He's God. He spoke this world into existence. He just said it. He can just snap his fingers. He doesn't have to use us. In fact, it makes you wonder, is it possible that there's something more important to God than getting to the finish line fastest, most efficiently? Because let me tell you something. It would be easier. That's not like maybe. No, it would be easier if God didn't use people. Have you met people? You ever worked with people? I am a people, and I do not make it easy for God, okay? I am unreliable. I get demotivated. I don't make great decisions every day. I do not make it easier to get stuff done. Maybe there's something more important to God than just getting there as efficiently and quickly as possible. Maybe the destination is actually in the journey. There's a verse in Mark chapter 12 that really spotlights this. Jesus is spying on people at the tithe box, giving their tithes to the temple. This is a real story. This really happened. This is not an analogy. This isn't a story. This really happened. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts, and then a poor widow came. Now, do you think this poor widow has any idea that 2,000 years later in Appleton, Wisconsin, and Hortonville, Wisconsin, we're talking about her? You have any idea? It doesn't say that Jesus told her, hey, I used you as a little teaching moment. It doesn't say that. I just want to tell you something. If you're following the Lord faithfully and you're being obedient to what he commands and no one sees it, it doesn't mean that God doesn't see it. And it also doesn't mean that there may not be generations ahead of you that will be impacted by what you're doing. We're talking about this poor widow, 2,000 years. She had, I don't know what her dreams were for her life. I don't know what she had hoped for, God would use her for. Use me, Lord. I don't know what she thought the answer to that was going to be. I'll bet being in the Bible wasn't one of them. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was, but here she is in the Bible. Then a poor widow came and dropped in 2 small coins. Jesus called the disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. If Jesus was all about getting done whatever that temple's vision was at the time to build and do, if he was all about getting there as fast as possible and making sure that stock was going up, he would have called his disciples over and said, hey, look at all this stuff going in. Look at all the money going in. Look at all this stuff going in. It's going up. The stock's going up. But he didn't say that. Maybe it's not the size of the gift that Jesus is most eager to celebrate what catches his attention. No, what catches his attention is the size of the sacrifice, and here's why. Because that is called faith. That's called faith. That's what, and faith, another word for that is trust, is the bedrock for relationship. God doesn't want to do all the stuff that we're talking about doing without you. No matter how small of a gift you got, no matter how small you think you can give, even spiritually, no matter how small you think you are spiritually, you're about to see on the screen behind me, you're about to see a video, and in a few moments, we'll show you this video, kind of introducing what we see on the horizon over the next 2 years, what we've prayerfully and through lots of discussion prayed over that we see on the horizon for the next 2 years. You've picked up one of these little pamphlets here, and in it is what we see on the next couple of years on the horizon. You know what would be easier to do? To not print this. You know what would be easier to do? To not do the video, to not put a target on the wall. It takes faith to do that. You ever had a goal in your life? If you've ever had a personal goal or a goal for your family and you start telling people about what you think you're gonna do, what you think God's gonna do through your life, what he's gonna accomplish through you, you know how hard that is. You know what most people's response is, oh, that's nice, but probably not. Right? Or that's nice, I hope it works out for you. Or even, there's a lot of times people are like, you know, what makes you think you're so special that that's not gonna happen? They'll just tell you, that's not gonna happen to you. There's no way. I look at your life, I look at your story, I look at your family, I look at your job, there's no way. What makes you think your church is so special that you're gonna do all that stuff? It's way easier to not cast vision. It's way easier to not write it down, to not put a target on the wall. But we don't want to be the church that gets no attention from Jesus. He is the one we worship. We want his attention. He's the only audience we want. And what honors him, glorifies him, is faith. No matter how small it is, you might be thinking, man, Appleton, Wisconsin, we're going to do that. You're going to see some mountains in here and on the screen. You're going to see some big stuff. And you're going to go, little old Appleton doing that, little old Hortonville doing that, little old Northeast Wisconsin. And you might even say, little old me, how am I going to be, how, what little I got in my time, in my treasure, my talents, well, here's the reality. Let's learn today from the widow. Let's not miss the lesson that Jesus is calling us over to, saying, hey, disciples, hey, disciples, look at this. Look at the widow. Look at the widow. That's faith. Jesus is doing the same thing he did 2,000 years ago. He's saying, hey, are you in? Are you going to have faith in me? Are you going to put your trust in me? Man, I hope you say yes. And my prayer is that after you see what God's doing, and as we remember how faithful he's been, it's gonna be a lot harder to say no.
Yeah. Been some ride the last 25 years. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that's always hit me hard, and that's, it says, without vision, people perish. I believe without vision, organizations perish. Churches perish. You have to have a clear and compelling God-sized vision. There's got to be a target on the wall. What are you calling us to be and do, God? You know, there's two-thirds of the churches, I'm talking about Bible churches, two-thirds of the churches in America are stagnant or declining, and yet we have the greatest message in the world. How does that make sense? It's because there's no clear vision in these churches of what God wants them to be or do. I think God is looking for churches that are willing to put a target on the wall, go out on the limb, and say, this is God's size, it's much bigger than we could ever accomplish. But after prayer, after talking with the leadership and people, you really believe this is what God wants us to be and do. And we've done that hard work. I tell people all the time, 25 years ago when I first came here, I could change the vision over lunch. Not anymore. We're all owners of it. And so we've done a collaborative job the last year, really, praying and talking and thinking through, God, what do you want us to be and do? What's that mental picture that you want to become reality? And my job here in this session is to tell you what it looks like. And it's, like I said in the video, I think it's the biggest vision we've ever had here. We built this place, yeah, but now God wants us to really launch out with this large congregation to do some real impact here and around the world. All right, it's three buckets. We try and make it simple. The first one is strengthen our core. This is stuff we need to do internally. And it's time to build a state-of-the-art special needs learning environment. Listen, this is one of the largest unreached people groups on Sunday. Parents don't come, they don't bring their kids because churches, you know, understandably don't know how to deal with it. But yet it's a whole bunch of people that need to hear the gospel that God cares about. And we have a tremendous ministry going on right now as we speak. Tammy and her volunteers do a great job, but we really need facility to do it right here because there's not many churches in the state and in the country that have the facility to do it. It's gonna cost a little bit over $1 million just to change things here to make that happen. Probably won't be able to do it all in the next 2 years, but we wanna get going. We wanna get going on this thing. So that's part of this Dare to Move too. Secondly, we want to develop and launch spiritual boot camp for students. Now, I feel very strongly about this. I don't have to tell you how goofy things are in our world right now. It is absolutely nuts. And if adults are having a hard time with it, you can imagine what our kids and students are dealing with. So we have got to prepare them to have a Christian biblical worldview as they're getting all this crazy stuff thrown at them, particularly our students. Discovery Land, Chris Small and her group, they got a solid curriculum, but now our student ministries, which is led by Josiah and his team, they need to have something available for our middle school students and our high school students to prepare them to respond and think biblically about everything they're being faced with. And so we have the best of the best in Mark Harris. He was a youth pastor. He developed this before. He's developing an updated version of our spiritual boot camp, and that's what we're going to launch out as part of this Dare to Move too, to prepare our kids. And then we want to double our mini church ministry. I talked about this in my message a couple weeks ago that, you know, you can't do the one another's of the New Testament. Love one another, admonish one another, carry one another's burdens, encourage one another, love one another. You can't do those by coming here 1 hour on Sunday. So what do we need to do? I'm in a mini church. You need to be in a smaller group, whether it's a men's group, a women's group, or a couple group. We need to double the size of our groups, and we have a plan to do that. That's going to take some investment to do that. Let's go to the community. We want to add a fourth location. Currently, we have this location. Of course, we launched Hortonville, which is going great guns. That's just a tremendous story. And then in online, we forget 1,000 people still meet for church every week in this place online. But there's a fourth campus that we want to get going. And it's about 500,000 to do that at the very minimum, to launch one over a 2 or 3 year period. That's going to be part of this campaign to launch a fourth location. And then our goal always has been to give 1 million annually to the poor, the needy, and the neglected. Why? Why? Because Old Testament and New Testament, very clear, don't forget the poor. Don't forget the poor, church, and whatever you do. So our commitment is 1 million. We're pretty close. We gave about 650,000 last year, if you include all of our outreach to the community, including the Hope Clinic. So we're getting there. Okay, global, finally, third piece. We're ready to find a sister church in Asia. I've been in contact with a church in Thailand. We're not ready to sign on the dotted line yet. I have to take a trip out there and actually visit with them and see the scenario. I'm going to go with Pastor Mark Byram and Judy, hopefully beginning of next year, spring sometime. But we may be able to nail that down. And then we have our sister church. We have one in Lima, Peru, South America, Africa, the Ouagadougou Church, the Central Church there in Burkina Faso. We have France and now Asia. Pretty soon, that's good. But that'll be part of that outreach. And then we're going to celebrate the centennial with Burkina. Why? Because our first missionaries came in 1923. They're on their 100th anniversary, and we want to celebrate. We're not going to tell them what we're going to do. You know, that's the worst thing you could ever do, whether it's the community or a national church, to say, here's what we'll do for you. You go and you ask. You put a towel over your arm. You say, we're here to serve you. Tell us, how can we help you? So I have a Zoom call with Pastor Job in Burkina Faso this week coming. But we want to make that part of this Dare to Move too. And then finally, this is the biggest, most riskiest thing we've ever tried, and that's 1 million to reach an unreached people group. Let me give you some background on, I did some statistic gathering this week, unreached people groups, because when I throw that out, people go, what's an unreached people group? Well, first of all, a people group is any group where they have their own language, their own belief system, their own culture. And in many places around the world, a country can have many people groups. They don't speak the same languages over there. So for example, I'll give you an example. Pakistan has 400 people groups. Now, of all the people groups in the world, there's about 3,000 of them that we call unengaged unreached people groups. By that I mean there's absolutely zero Christian witness there. There are zero churches. There are zero pastors. There are zero missionaries there. And even worse, there's no plan to go into those places. In fact, only 3% of all the missionaries in the world we have right now, only 3% go to unreached people groups. So there is a great need for somebody to step up and say, we're going to go out on the limb and we're going to ask God to use us and our resources to go plant the church there, put a pastor there so that there are at least some Christians there, and maybe even have to translate the Bible into their language so that they can even read the Word of God and come to faith. We're going to take that challenge on for one people group. So I called our national office where they send out missionaries and they're experts, and I said, that's what we believe God wants Appleton Alliance Church to do, take a people group. And they said, that's a big commitment. We said, we're ready. Our people are ready to do God-sized things. So we put an initial amount of 1 million on it. We give 1 million right now to global ministry. We want it, our goal is 2 million, and that's what we're gonna do with that other million. We're gonna reach an unreached people group, and here's the desire that I've been praying about with God, that God, wouldn't it be unbelievable if the first missionary that is sent there is somebody from Appleton Alliance Church that we send out? What, won't it be great that if there's people in heaven from that people group, it's because of a local church in Appleton that caught the vision for it? It's big. It's the biggest thing we've ever done. Who knows what it's going to involve? But that's where we feel like God's leading us to go, to reach an unreached people group, to own that. Now, we don't know. What they do is the Alliance sends in teams. They call them probe teams. into these groups. They actually go in and visit. They get the lay of the land, almost like the spies did in the Old Testament. And then they come back and they say, these are the pluses, these are the negatives. We think we can, some of our missionaries, and we have experience in this area, we can go in. So they're probing now all different areas, and what they promised to do is to give us a selection, and we'll pick one. We'll tell you about it as we move along in this. But that's our vision. It's God-sized. That's there to move to. And the only way it's going to happen is if we all do it together. I remember many years ago, people, we talked about a $35 million campus, building a 35, people thought we were nuts. And then we got together at a congregational meeting, because I can't borrow a dime, nobody can borrow a dime here unless the congregation, the membership votes to. So the bank was there, the investors were there, everybody was there, and our congregation came together. And we cast the vision again, and we said, do we want to do this? Vote yay or nay. And something like 93% of the people said, let's do it. And I remember the main banker coming to me saying, I've been in a lot of church meetings. I've never seen that kind of support before. And I told him, it's not because of the way we cast it. It's because we really believe this is the center of God's will. Well, we believe this is the center of God's will now. So let's see what happens. Let me pray with you. Lord, we're all in this together. I feel like I'm back out on the limb again. But Lord, this is exactly where you want us to go, so that when it's done, nobody gets the glory but you. I pray, God, now you'll work through your people, show each of these individuals and even those who have yet to hear what you want them to be, what you want them to do as being a part of this. And Lord, we're up for the journey. We're up for the adventure. We know the enemy is not going to sit around and just let it happen. There'll be obstacles along the way, but we have no fear. We're not anxious about anything. We're going to do just like you said, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. We're going to present everything before you, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard us along the way, our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We give it to you, God. We give this vision to you. And ask for you to glorify yourself through this place again. Do it again, God, for your glory and honor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, at the end of the day, I call it payday. At the end of the day, it's all about changed lives, right? Our vision is to connect people with God and then one another. But the first piece, the most important, you got to connect them with God so their lives get changed. And the way we see this here is through baptisms. People follow the Lord in baptism. It's an outward expression of what's already happened inside of them. And we get to hear the stories. So as we're going to celebrate our next step in the vision, we thought, what better Sunday to do it? Let's do some baptisms. Let's see what God does among us and how he changes people that only he can for his glory. Let's watch the video.
In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming down to be baptized in the Jordan River. And John stops him and he says, you know, Jesus, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of God. It is you that should be baptizing me. Why are you asking me to baptize you? And Jesus says, this must be done now to fulfill all that God requires. And I don't know if the crowd understood that when Jesus said it. We don't know if John really got it at that point, but we know now what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, I have to go down. I've got to go underneath the wrath of God, the suffering, the penalty for your sin. The good news is that God is just. He doesn't let people get away with evil. The bad news is you got to pay for it. The good news is Jesus says, I will go down. I'll go under the water of suffering and consequence and wrath and punishment for your sin. Because it is the only way, it is the only way that you can come up. It is the only way. If I don't go down underneath the wrath of God, if I don't go down into the grave and onto that cross, you don't come up from death. You don't come up from suffering. I have to go down. That's the gospel. That's what this whole vision is about, is telling people the good news. Jesus went down so you don't have to. You can come up in any circumstance. I had a phone call yesterday with a girl who was in our youth group, with a woman who was in our youth group. And I called her while she was still in the ICU. She was in a bad accident, totally came out of nowhere, the darkest hour of her life. And I asked her, how you doing? And she said, this has been the darkest hour. This has been the most traumatic crisis ever been through. But then she said this, the last few months though have been great, but there's been something missing. God has felt far. I'm a Christian, but I just haven't really sensed his nearness or activity in my life. It's been like there's been something missing. I'm a Christian, but there's been something that was off. And when I got in that ambulance from the side of the road to the hospital, God had never been closer to me than in that moment. She's in her darkest hour, and yet she quotes to me Psalm 38. She says, Pastor Brian, the Bible says that God is near to the brokenhearted, and I've never felt him closer. That's the gospel. You, in this life, will go under the waters. You're gonna go under the water of suffering. There will be tragedy, there will be pain, there will be unexpected, it will hurt. But in every circumstance, because of Christ, you can come up out of it. Spiritually, you come up out of that water, he lifts you up, and even your darkest hour, death itself, right? Death, even going under the grave, you come up if you put your faith in Jesus, who paid his price, paid your price for you. I don't know about you, but I can't sit anymore on that. So I want to invite you, if you're able to stand, you can rise up. We can rise up and praise him this morning. We're going to worship with our words, with our song, as these people here worship with their obedience in being baptized. We're all worshiping together. Feel free to celebrate and applaud what God has done in their life as they act in obedience to the commandment to be baptized. Let's worship together, church.